WMDX 1580 AM Columbus, W224 EG Madison, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The mayor of Springfield, Ohio, says there has been a strain on the city, but they need help, not hate. Former President Trump's been pointing out Haitian migration to Springfield.
I'm angry about illegal Haitian migrants taking over Springfield, Ohio. You see that mess, don't you?
About 10,000 have arrived in the last 3 years legally under a Biden administration policy. Friday was the second straight day of threats called in against the community. Vice President Kamala Harris focused on the economy as she campaigned in Pennsylvania. No criminal charges expected despite a report into last year's deadly Maui wildfire that found no evidence officials made any emergency preparations before the blaze that killed over 100 people. And over 30,000 Boeing machinists are on strike in the Pacific Northwest after voting to reject a new contract proposal. This is ABC News. The Biden administration's asked a federal appeals court to bring back a Trump-era rule that lifted Endangered Species Act protections for gray wolves. The Trump administration policy was halted by a court order after a lawsuit from environmentalists. Efforts to lift these protections and let states decide what they want to do date back to the first term of President George W. Bush. A guilty plea for Justin Timberlake for drinking and driving.
Justin Timberlake in court for his driving under the influence case in New York Friday, pleading guilty to a lesser misdemeanor charge of driving while ability impaired after being arrested in the Hamptons in June. Outside court, Timberlake, who had said he only had one drink that night, admitted to making a mistake.
I'm hoping that whoever's watching and listening right now can learn from this mistake. I know that I certainly have.
Timberlake was ordered to pay a fine and perform community service. Jason Athenson, ABC News, Hollywood.
I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
I'm Terry Bell with WMDX News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WMDX website at mad.radio.
The Todd Alba Show.
Going back to this interview we just had again, many thanks to Michael Cohen, former attorney and fixer for Donald Trump. Let's go back to the phone lines. Don in Milwaukee. Don, thanks for holding. What say you?
My God, that I've been listening to your station, Civic Media, for a long time, and this was a blockbuster. I was absolutely riveted.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. A new study finds lower-wage workers in Wisconsin are making more money, but Black, Latino, and women workers still lag behind. Mark Richardson reports.
A study by the High Road Strategy Center at the University of Wisconsin-Madison finds the state's job market hit record levels in the second quarter, and the inflation-adjusted medium hourly wage has increased by 97 cents. Report co-author Laura Dresser says the increase in the median wage is just making up for the period that inflation ran ahead of earnings in 2022.
In these last 5 years, lower-wage workers have seen their wages go up by 8% in terms of purchasing power, real value, and high-wage workers have only had wages go up about 1%.
The State of Working Wisconsin report says the number of jobs in Wisconsin has topped 3 million and unemployment remains steady at 3%. The study also found the rate of unionized workers in Wisconsin dropped by one-third between 2011 and 2023, the steepest decline in union membership across the Midwest region. Despite the increase in wages, the report says significant wage gaps remain between white men and workers who are Black, Latino, or female.
When you focus on improving the quality of jobs, especially at the bottom of the labor market, you also are looking to close racial and gender gaps because it is Black and brown and women workers who are dominant in lower wage jobs.
The report makes some recommendations. It suggests raising the minimum wage from $7.25 to $15 $15 an hour to help close the pay gap, rolling back the state's so-called right-to-work laws to restore union rights, and increasing investments in child care and education to provide relief for families and employers. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Mark Richardson.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy for tonight, an isolated storm late, warmer with lows in the low 60s. And a mix of sun and clouds for tomorrow with pop-up showers and storms, high, low 80s. Mostly sunny and a high in the mid-80s Sunday. Lots of 80s ahead looking into next week. Next rain chance, midweek. Right now it's 61.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we debut a new daily segment coming your way every day at 11:50 called This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 11.
Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who loves the sin but hates the sinner, Pete Schwabe.
Hey, hey, Wisconsin. We are live statewide. Coming to you from beautiful downtown Green Bay on a gorgeous Friday night here in the state of Wisconsin. Technically still summer, but fall is in the air. There is high school football. We'll talk a little bit about that with our first guest tonight, Jimmy Cuska, who joins us at 6:35. And just a beautiful Friday night here in Wisconsin. Great to have you with me. Great to have you be part of Nightlight like we do every night when you text us or call us. We love having you join us here. It's like you're in downtown Green Bay with us. So that's exciting. And hope everybody had a great week. We're going to talk about some things tonight that hopefully will make us head into the weekend a little more chill, I think. Conrad, how you doing?
I am doing great. You know why I'm doing great? It's because we're back on Facebook.
We are back on Facebook. All right. Streamers. If you are a Facebook, and we get a lot of comments on Facebook. That's great because we've been down, what, three nights?
Okay. So we're on Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, the Facebook page, and WGBW Facebook page.
Fantastic. And how did you fix it? Was it a Phillips screwdriver issue or a flathead?
It was a flathead.
Okay. All right. That's not too bad. Well done.
Thank you.
It's good to be back on the stream. But we've always been up on Twitter, right, or YouTube.
Correct, yes.
Okay, but Facebook is, we get good viewership on Facebook, so we're glad to be back.
I don't blame us. You know who I blame?
Who?
That guy over there, Zuckerberg.
Yeah, he's a problem, isn't he? First he chickens out with his boxing match with Elon Musk. Man, would I love to watch those two guys
that
wail on each other.
So funny. I would have loved to watch that. You know, we could have got one of our popcorn sponsors.
Oh, yeah.
Not sponsors, but, you know, Big Bucket.
That would have been sweet.
Eating all of the popcorn well, we watch them wail on each other.
That would be fun. I'm telling you. I think I used to watch UFC stuff. I took martial arts a lot in my 20s, and I like martial arts, but the UFC stuff, when it started out, it was kind of like, oh, this is kind of cool. It's brutal, but it's an art form. I mean, it is, you know, but now it's just like the whole arena, they're all like pinheads. And they all wear the Affliction shirts, and they're yelling stuff, and it's just like, turn me off. But if Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg were going to fight, oh, man, I would be all over that.
Now, that would sell out a whole arena.
I think so, too. And I cannot get off of Twitter. I don't know what the deal is with Twitter. It's definitely changed since Elon Musk took over.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not a fan, you know, but I can't get rid of his tweets. I'm not going to call them X's or whatever. Posts, whatever. His tweets show up all the time, and I can't ignore. It's like he just, if you're on Twitter, you have to listen to him.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go political, but I will say he posts, he does not like Harris. He loves Trump, and he's always posting stuff. And people are like, why are you so in favor of Trump? I'll tell you why. Because he'll be able to do whatever he wants. Like, if Trump gets in, he's just going to let people like Elon Musk do whatever they want. He won't raise their taxes. Elon Musk's worth will probably double. In a way, I don't get it, but there's the other billionaire I like, Warren Buffett, who I think is a great guy, who seems very sound. I think he's conservative, but he's sane, and he wants people to pay their fair share, and he wants to make money, and he's done it all without gimmicks. Like, the guy has just been an investor. Yeah. But he's too old to fight. He can't fight Elon Musk or Wahlberg. He'd get destroyed.
I'd take Buffett. I would take him 100%.
He's crafty. He's older and cagier. He'll find a way to win, right?
Exactly.
Wow, was that a tangent? So Jimmy Cuska's here at 6:35. We're going to have Sounds of Sputnik. I was at a judge at Sputnik Fest last weekend in Manitowoc, and that was really fun. I judged a contest with two other people, one of whom was on the show last night, Jenna Watkins, who was delightful on the air, fun to talk to her, and a guy named Craig who works for a country station in Manitowoc. He was a very nice guy, too. So we judged a costume contest, and then I walked around with my phone, and I got some interviews on the street, and we'll play those at 7:05. The people were having a great time. And then, ladies and gentlemen, it is a Bar Band Friday night here at Nightlight. Terry Barr from Max Inc. Radio will join us at 7:35 tonight and bring us new music that we know we're going to love, because we always do. And it's always fun to talk to Terry. So
always.
That's a show right there, folks. And that's a show that we hope will help you ease into the weekend. Your weekend has already started. Our job is to start it off with a bang, and that's what we intend to do here tonight. It is Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
And what do we get, like two of those a year, maybe three?
Somewhere on there.
So tonight, our question is, do you consider yourself a superstitious person, Conrad?
I wouldn't. No, not really.
Okay.
You know, the bad luck thing with the black cat, I don't believe it because I had a black cat.
You owned one?
Till I moved out of my parents' house. So I think... since I was five, and she just passed away this year.
Oh, wow.
So she was an old cat, but I wouldn't say that's bad luck, because the cat lived to, like, I think 19 or something around there.
Well, I don't think it's supposed to be bad luck for the cat. I think if the cat crosses in front of you.
Well, it's done that many times.
Really?
Yes.
You didn't spend your whole life trying to stay in front of the cat? That would be kind of exhausting. Well, that's good to know. Yeah, I mean, and stuff could happen, like something could have happened where you would go, oh, it was that damn cat. It probably would have happened anyway, right?
I mean, I guess I just blame it on the cat now.
It's the easy way out. but it is Friday the 13th. What superstition do you adhere to or scares you the most? That's our question tonight. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. What superstition do you adhere to? I don't consider myself a really superstitious person, but I also don't like to tempt fate. So, like, if I'm walking down the street and I see a ladder, I'm not walking under it.
I mean,
to play it safe.
Yeah.
And part of it is that the ladder could collapse on you, too. I mean, and that, I guess that would be bad luck. But I typically will walk around it. If I see a cat trying to cross the street, I'll gun it and try to get in front of it. So it can...
Boy, I'd love to see that on the street.
Yeah, well, I've done that. Just, I'm like, well, what have I got to lose if I stay in front of it? But little things like knocking on wood, spilling salt, you throw it over your left shoulder. My wife does that. And some people, like, I don't consider my wife a superstitious person, but you kind of just do it because you're supposed to and it's easy. So, I don't know. Connor's getting a call. So, there's Friday the 13th, saying God bless you. The black cat thing, the number 13, does that freak you out? I am kind of in awe when athletes pick the number 13. Not that anything's going to happen, but why would you even tempt fate? Crossing your fingers, owls are supposed to bring you bad luck. There's all kinds of crazy superstitions. So share with us, please, which ones you adhere to or which ones you freak you out the most. That's fine, too. Knocking on wood. I do that a lot. When I'm in conversation with people and I say something and there's wood there, I'll knock on wood just for the heck of it, because I've thought of it. Anyway, All right, we've got a call. Let's take our first call in a while. Facebook is back up, folks. That's exciting. But we have a call here. Who is our caller, Conrad?
It is Mike from Spring Green.
All right. Mike, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Doing great. Good to hear from you. What's on your mind, buddy?
Well, I don't. You were talking about superstitions. I don't know if this is a superstition, but it works for me almost every time.
Okay.
I lose something. I misplace something. I cannot find it. I go buy a new one, and often within minutes, like if I'm online, I'll just click out of the website, I turn around, and there it is. Or I'll go to the store, buy it, come home, and go in the other room, and there it is. And it happens to me more often than not when I do that. So is that superstition? Because I do it, and it works.
It's infuriating. You know, like I guess
I know.
If you save your receipt, you could take it back. But yeah, I don't know if that's superstition or just some kind of serendipitous coincidence, you know.
I know, but it just happens too much just to be coincidence.
It's hilarious.
You know, and I do save receipts because I often will bring them back because it's like, I found it. What, I don't need to. Because
you know yourself.
That's how it works. It's just how it works. Yeah.
I would say that is I don't know. Yeah, sure. We'll count that as a superstition. It's a great story either way.
Yeah, well, thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for the call, Mike. Have a great night.
Sure. Bye-bye.
That's Mike from Spring Green. I will say, I don't know if this is a superstition either, but growing up, my mom would teach us whenever we misplaced something, she would always say a prayer to St. Anthony. So St. Anthony, I think, is the patron saint of lost items, of lost car keys. I will say more often than not, and this is weird, when I have said a prayer to St. Anthony, I rarely use any kind of expletives. No, but I typically will find what I'm looking for, and that could be coincidence too. But it is strange, kind of like what Mike just said. It's just one of those weird, do you believe in coincidences? Are there coincidences, or is there some kind of crazy fabric that goes through the universe? I don't know.
You know, there is also the sports side of superstitions where you wear the same socks for the whole year.
Oh, yeah, I've heard those are awful. Yeah, there's some crazy, especially baseball, right? With like batting and.
Yeah, no, I've heard the socks thing is real.
Yeah.
And that's disgusting.
Yeah, I think by the time you get gangrene, you go, you know what? I can give up my hitting streak to save my toes.
Before they go
not worth it. Yeah. But let us know what your superstition is, the one that that you follow or that scares you. Jacqueline Bissett, one of my exes, has a birthday today. I think she's 82. I got to go to the Google because I just saw that it was her birthday. But she was in a movie called The Deep, and she is a stunningly beautiful woman and a great actress from Great Britain. She turns 80 years old, I believe, today. So that's a good birthday. Peter Cetera from Chicago, not one of my exes, but he turns 80 as well today, too. He was like the third iteration of Chicago, or second, maybe. A lot of top 40 hits. Women love Peter Cetera. I'm generalizing, but those are two big 80-year-old birthdays today. All right, we got Jimmy Cuska coming up at 6:35 with a high school football update. We'll talk a little Packers and Brewers with Jim. And Sounds of Sputnik at 7:05. It's a bar band Friday night, ladies and gentlemen. Terry Barr is here at 7:35. And we've got all kinds of fun coming up here on Nightlight, a Friday edition. That's the best kind of edition. This is Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network. So I want control right now.
Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for the John and Gordy Show.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Thank you for tuning in. Got my friend Earl Ingram Jr., Civic Media's own. Earl, thanks for joining me and hanging out in Waukesha, man.
But you sound like you've done this before.
It's been a couple of times. I mean, not as old as veteran as you, perhaps, Earl.
The first time you're doing this under the Dominic Salvia Show, you've invited me. It's an honor.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Going back to this interview we just had, again, many thanks to Michael Cohen, former attorney and fixer for Donald Trump. Let's go back to the phone lines. Don in Milwaukee. Don, thanks for holding. What say you?
My God, Ted, I've been listening to your station, Civic Media, for a long time, and this was a blockbuster. I was absolutely riveted.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
We got time. This is Conrad's dad checking in on the text line. Says Conrad said the reason why he didn't ever win the lottery was because we had a black cat for 20 years.
Yes, definitely.
Okay, but now the cat is gone.
So sorry, we should be that. Winning, right?
I don't know what's the holdup, right?
It's because my dad's been walking under ladders. So
there's always something going on in that Krieger family. If they're not walking under ladders, they're forgetting to throw the salt over their shoulder. Annie from Watertown says, despite that fuzzy sheep clothing, you gotta remember Buffett is really a wolf in Wall Street. PR dream, I guess. Oh, look at the nice gazillionaire. Look, I'm not saying he's perfect, but, you know, and honestly, I don't know anything about the guy, but he is he's a gentleman. At least he's not, throwing rhetoric around. But you're right. I don't know anything about the guy. I just like what I see. And I like when he said years ago, he said, my secretary shouldn't have to pay a higher tax percentage than I do. And there are very few, I shouldn't say very few, there are very few billionaires that come out publicly and say, I should pay more taxes. Mark Cuban is one of them. I like him too. I like him as a billionaire, as billionaires go. Where are we at here? Texas. Okay. And then Annie says, Annie from Watertown says it's old age. Yeah, maybe. Like he just seems like a nicer guy because he's old. Or she's saying old age is a superstition. Let's talk sex. I forgot to share this with you.
That's a great way to start sex.
If you're driving, I've got the floor
yes.
right now.
Yep.
So a couple things. Shannon Sharp, who is a football announcer, or he's on, what's he on with Skip Bayless, that show?
I forget what the show is called because I hate listening to Skip Bayless.
They're both idiots. I mean, and Shannon Sharp apparently left his phone on and recorded himself having sex.
He was on Instagram Live. Yeah.
Right. Having sex.
Yep.
And had to apologize, and he said it's terribly embarrassing, and then a minute later he's joking about it.
You know, also he said that he was hacked originally. He said, oh, I was hacked.
Yeah, so what
later the day he admitted. He's like, no, that was me.
Yeah, I wanted everybody to see.
Okay, so you're just going to lie?
Yeah, that doesn't happen. How do you... I could see sending a text with a swear word in it by accident, but, you know, going live on Instagram while you're having sex, that takes some effort.
You know, the only person I could see actually doing that is Bill Belichick, because he calls it InstaFace.
Yeah, but maybe he's too stupid, technically, to...
He said he was on the Peyton Manning and Eli Manning sportscast, you know?
Yeah.
For Monday Night Football, and he goes, yeah, everyone follow my InstaFace. I just started being active.
No one wants to see Bill Belichick having sex anyway. But the reason I brought it up is because Todd Michaels sent this message earlier, and here's what it says. Does this number sound right to you? Are you more of a marathoner in the sack or maybe a sprinter? I typically do very little running when I'm having sex. That takes the fun out of it for me.
Yeah.
But I get the analogy. He says, a poll found the average American who has a good sex life thinks the average roll in the hay should last a total of 35 minutes. 34 minutes of foreplay, 1 minute of actual intercourse. But don't worry, guys. Less than half of that time is actually spent knocking boots. Don't know where that phrase came from either. The 35 minutes includes 15 minutes of foreplay, 15 minutes of doing it, and 5 minutes of cuddling. 15 minutes seems a little short on the foreplay end. I'm just, you know, if I remember correctly. Those numbers can vary, though, depending on what time of day you're getting it on. The poll found that the bedroom rodeo sessions, rodeo? At night tend to last the longest. The shortest sessions are midday. Well, yeah, because you're in the men's room. So, I don't know. You guys can weigh in on this. You agree with that? Is 35 minutes enough time to have good sex? Is it too long? Or have you had sex so much in your life, you're like, let's just get to the good part right away and move on? We've done this. It's probably different for married couples. Probably different if it's a new partner. I don't know. But you guys are welcome to weigh in on this, too. 35 minutes, they're saying 15 minutes of foreplay, 15 minutes of actual da-da-da-da, and 5 minutes of cuddling. Who could stay awake for 5 minutes? I don't have that kind of cuddling stamina. But let us know what you think. Also, our question of the night, what is the superstition you adhere to? I said I'm not typically a superstitious person, but I won't walk under a ladder. I don't like when a black cat, breaking a mirror freaks me out a little bit. Just because it's 7 years, that's daunting, you know. Here's what we need to figure out. If you're having sex and you break a mirror, that could be a problem. Or you're having sex and you walk under a ladder while you're having sex. See how all this ties in, ladies and gentlemen? So let us know what you think. Great stuff, as always, from our listeners. We've got Jimmy Cuskin coming up at 6:35. I talked about this a little bit last night. Rebel Ridge is a movie on Netflix. It just dropped recently. The star is Aaron Pierre, who is kind of an unknown in the live action world. He's currently doing the voice of Mufasa for the Lion King prequel, but he's not a very well-known actor. He is now. Don Johnson is in the film. And here's why I like it. So many action films now, the bad guy is so crazy over the top that they build up this hatred so that the payoff is excruciating and over the top. And like, you've got to basically dismember the guy to equal the amount of anger for what the villain does in a film. Rebel Ridge wasn't like that. The bad guys were bad, but it was more realistic. The Aaron Pierre is sort of a soft-spoken guy. And he got his revenge, but it wasn't over the top, like blow the guy's head off. It was just kind of a more realistic. It was very believable. And I like that. You don't see that a lot in movies. So I recommend it highly. Rebel Ridge. And I don't even know necessarily, like, I liked the way it ended, but a couple things happened towards the end. I'm sort of like, is this building for a sequel? Or I didn't totally understand it, but I really liked it. You kind of walked away satisfied, but it was sort of believable and realistic. You don't see that a lot in movies, especially action movies. And I was surprised to see it in a Netflix film, to be honest with you, because they make some bad movies.
True that.
Yeah. So that is going in my recommendations, though. Jim from Appleton says, I think the 35 minutes is about 10 minutes short of a great sexual experience. Where do you put that extra 10 minutes, Jim? In the foreplay category, in the knock and boots category, or you add extra cuddling? Because this study said 5 minutes of cuddling. I don't have that kind of cuddling stamina. All right, Jimmy Cuska is coming up next after Civic Media's award-winning news. And we'll read more of your texts. It's Friday night, folks. We're having fun. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mad Radio WMDX, Madison's home for the John and Gordy Show.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The mayor of Springfield, Ohio, says there has been a strain on the city, but they need help, not hate. Former President Trump's been pointing out Haitian migration to Springfield.
I'm angry about illegal Haitian migrants taking over Springfield, Ohio. You see that mess, don't you?
About 10,000 have arrived in the last 3 years legally under a Biden administration policy. Friday was the second straight day of threats called in against the community. Vice President Kamala Harris focused on the economy as she campaigned in Pennsylvania. No criminal charges expected despite a report into last year's deadly Maui wildfire that found no evidence officials made any emergency preparations before the blaze that killed over 100 people. And over 30,000 Boeing machinists are on strike in the Pacific Northwest after voting to reject a new contract proposal. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Bucky gets Bama. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. The Wisconsin Badgers play Alabama today in college football. Head coach Luke Fickell said that they've been the best team in the nation for a long time.
I know this, over the last 20 years, who's been the best team in college football, and there's no doubt it's been Alabama. So regardless of where they are at this moment, this is as good a football team that there is in the country and has been for a really, really long time. And
kickoff is at 11 a.m. in Madison. The Brewers got a two-run home run from Rhys Hoskins and beat Arizona 2-1 on Friday night. The win, coupled with losses by all of the teams below them in the standings, moved Milwaukee's magic number down to 5. Same two teams, Brewers and Diamondbacks, tonight. Green Bay quarterback Jordan Love is listed as questionable for tomorrow's game with an MCL sprain. Malik Willis is expected to be the starter when the Packers take on the Colts on Sunday. Both teams are looking for their first win. Kickoff is at noon. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Civic Media Sports.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly cloudy, a high near 84. Slight chance of a thunderstorm this afternoon. Mostly cloudy tonight with a low around 63. Partly sunny for Sunday, highs near 87. Slight chance of a shower Monday. Otherwise, mostly sunny and a high around 86.
Right now, it's 61 degrees.
For the record, good sir, are you saying people that buy or sell with the Aaron Weber Group get the best price with updated market reports and instant property value quotes?
I am, Senator. They also do virtual or in-person meetings, too.
You expect us to believe that the Aaron Weber Group, powered by First Weber, is Madison's go-to real estate expert with results?
Yes.
Order! That's the Aaron Weber Group. Move to Madison.com. Order in the court.
I'm John.
I'm Gordy.
Join us for the John and Gordy Show 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays.
Right here on WMDX Bad Radio in Madison.
Your family won't want to miss the shindig, hullabaloo, and politics.
John and Gordy Show, weekday morning 6 to 8 a.m. right here.
Matt and Air on Air.
Wisconsin Public Radio, Dodge County clerks backtrack on using drop boxes after concerns from Republican sheriff in order to prevent the perception of voter fraud.
What is he citing as any sort of proof of concern about this?
Gut feeling.
It's a gut feeling.
Yeah, inherently.
Feel it in your bones.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
Matt and Air on Air, weekdays at 11 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Going back to this interview we just had again, many thanks to Michael Cohen, former attorney and fixer for Donald Trump. Let's go back to the phone lines. Don in Milwaukee. Don, thanks for holding. What say you?
My God, that I've been listening to your station, Civic Media, for a long time, and this was a blockbuster. I was absolutely riveted.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome entertainment critic and CityCast Madison newsletter editor Rob Thomas. And tis the season, so we'll talk about our favorite political movies.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back. Coming up in just a little bit, we will have sounds from Sputnik Fest. I hit the streets there while I was judging a contest and talked to some of the really enthusiastic, fun people that I met at Sputnik Fest last weekend. So we'll do that in just a bit. And it's a bar band Friday night. Terry Barr will be here at 7:35. But right now, this is exciting. One of my fast becoming one of my favorite guests. No, he's already one of my favorite guests. What am I saying? It's a very special night when Jimmy Cuska can join the show. He is... this guy is all over the place. He's the Civic Media Sports Director, and he does all our digital stuff, and he writes and he reports, and he's also a high school football coach, and he's joining us live from the field. He's here right now. Jimmy Cuska. Jimmy, how are you?
Hey, it's great to be here, Pete. I love being on the show. By the way, this is fast becoming my favorite show to be on. So, but yeah, we're here in beautiful Boscobel. You can see behind me, we're getting set for alumni night here in Boscobel. Blackhawk War, number 4 in the States, visiting here. So we've got a big night of football coming up here real quick.
Very nice. It doesn't look like fall yet totally because the trees are still green behind you. But with the football field there, it feels great. It's a Friday night in Wisconsin.
One of the cool things, and I'm gonna take the camera and turn it. You can see the hills behind me, right? So when in the fall, those hills when they start turning color, it makes this a tremendous backdrop for high school football. All the ridges here, because we're down in the valley on the Wisconsin River. So when the ridges start lighting up with colors, and that happens here in a couple of weeks, it is honestly like this part of the state's beautiful anyway. But even just being here for the last few years, like I still got to get used to it a little bit with the ridges. I grew up in the Chippewa Valley in northern Wisconsin, so I'm used to lakes and stuff, and I'm used to that, but I'm not used to being surrounded on all sides by 500-foot bluffs. So, but it's awesome down here. It's such a great part of the state in Wisconsin. I would highly encourage anybody who's never been to the Driftless area to make a trip. It's a lot of fun over here.
The Driftless area is probably, if not the most beautiful, one of the most beautiful places in the state. I could not agree with you more. Where I live in Marinette, Jim, we also have, it's funny because anything can remind you of high school football. Where I live, it's the field and you can kind of hear a foundry in the background. It's like a scene right out of All the Right Moves, the Tom Cruise film. So it like screams high school football for a different reason. Some factories around it, you know, but you've got the natural beauty there working for you. That's great.
A couple of silos, a couple of cornfields, you know, Wisconsin small school football to a T here.
That's great. Before we get into the Packers, you just told me before the interview, this is your third year coaching and you won the coordinator of the year last year. That's really cool. Congrats.
So last year in our conference, I was named assistant coach of the year, which was crazy because I literally jumped into this a few years ago, here in this town, like many small towns, many small schools, declining enrollment has really affected sports. So some schools have co-ops, some have gone to reduced player football. Here they were talking about just ending the program and they didn't have coaches for it. Wow. So I jumped in, I volunteered. The first year, we got a few other people in town that had some football experience together. All five of us are still doing it together here in year number 3, keeping football going. We've got our biggest roster in, I think, like 20 years here in Boscobel.
Really?
So we're moving in the right direction, at least. It's really interesting because I've been broadcasting. I did the state high school football games for, 20 years. You know, I was doing high school coverage. I was in Madison, Milwaukee, Eau Claire. I did games all over the state for almost 2 decades. That's all I did. I've been doing it kind of on the side along with coaching. So I'm still doing it, but just not nearly as many, especially not on Fridays when I'm here being busy. And the perspective you gain from actually coaching and working with officials and working in venues and the parents and the players, it brought me back, 20 something years after I was done playing my senior year. The last time I was on a football field as a player was November of 2002. So we're talking 20 years where I had gone from being involved in playing the sport. This has really brought me back to those roots and it reminded me what made it so great. And it also gave me a great perspective on the hard work that goes into it. It's made me a much better broadcaster too. Not that I didn't already appreciate everybody involved in it, but it's really, really helped me as a broadcaster.
Let me ask you a fun question. If you could choose between coaching and broadcasting as a living where you would do well and live comfortably, what would you choose? What would be your passion there?
You know, my personality type, I can definitely grind. So I could embrace the coaching lifestyle and I could grind and I could do really well at it. But I'll be honest with you, with a family, things change. Being in the media allows me a bit more flexibility and it also gives me a chance, to kind of focus on more of my own things. I'm not necessarily working to other people. I'm working more on things I'm doing. So I would say media, but I will say that coaching is because it's harder work and there's longer hours. It's more rewarding as well.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great answer. You just mentioned that you have the most kids on your team that you've had in a while. I know after all the concussion stuff happened years ago, numbers went down. I know certainly they did, Marinette. And then COVID happened. How are numbers for high school football all over, if you can answer that?
The trend nationally is up since COVID. Okay. More people are playing high school football. And really, it's been buoyed by the fact that there are more people playing flag football, which is now a sanctioned sport in several states, including Illinois, which just sanctioned it for this year. So flag football is really taking off in popularity. It's bringing more people into sport. But even tackle football has seen numbers go up overall. The problem is that, you know, people are condensing into suburban areas and urban areas. So those programs are still getting those students out. But in a small district like ours, it's much harder because the difference of having three students out for football is a huge difference in a program like ours, where we have 32, which is the most we've had in a long time. But we played last year, and we effectively had 18 students last year playing 11-player football, and that's really tough. So you've got a lot of considerations in that. I would say at the small school level, the trends, because of the declining enrollment in Wisconsin, especially where, you know, 2/3 of the schools in the state, you know, 70% of rural schools are seeing declining enrollment. You're seeing that affect participation, not just in football, but in music and art, in any other sport. And that's a real problem because schools are also losing funding when they lose students, which means they have to not offer as many different things for kids to do. And a lot of this gets outsourced to, you know, colleges, technical schools, CISAs, things like that in Wisconsin. So there's kind of this effect of the declining enrollment affecting kind of everything. But with football, that's been the biggest driver of participation, is that there are just fewer students in smaller areas. But overall, as a sport, it's pretty healthy. The trend has been going up for the last couple of years, according to the NFHS.
What kind of coach are you, Jim? Are you a yeller? Are you more cerebral? Are you more of a, you know, grinder? How would you describe your coaching style?
I'll just tell a short anecdote here. Before the season, you know, I decided this year we needed to be a little tougher, right? I remember my high school practices, we did some work with boards, right? Some bear crawls, some hops, some leg drills, you know, things that are not fun as a nut. I couldn't even do it today, you know.
Terrible.
I'm way too old for that. Right. So I brought the boards out. I brought three out the first day of practice, and I told everybody, stay off my boards, they cost $4. They were off the coal pile at the lumber yard here, so they weren't going to use them for building. I just grabbed like $3-$4 a board, got three of them, and I went through the drills, and I'm like, you know, I think they can handle more. So I showed up the next day and I brought three more. Everybody's groaning at me and they're like, what are you doing? I'm like, well, they had a sale on $4 boards. So so we had them down, and we're running through them. And on the last day of our two-a-days in today's context, it's just it's a single long practice with a half hour break in the middle. So call it two-a-days, but it's a long practice. The end of our fall camp, at the end of it, we break and it's like, okay, head over to Coach Cuska. We're gonna go do some bear claws. You know, claws, the key word. Crawls is what the drill is, but he said claws. So we ran over there and I'm like, guys, coach said bear claws. So then I pulled up a bag and I had bear claws for everybody. Way to break camp. So I would say I'm kind of a mix of, like, we're going to grind a bit. I'm a behind the scenes guy to a T. It's why I'm here at the company at Civic Media. Same thing in coaching. I love working behind the scenes, but I really embraced building community, like even setting up an alumni night tonight, salute to service in our first game, setting all that up, just trying to bring football, bring the community together in a way that I have experience in. This is the way I know how to do it. Some people donate, you know, and feed people. Some people are cleaning streets. My way is high school football. And I think this year we've had so much output and support from our families that, you know, to be honest, like, I'm actually a little overwhelmed this year with how many people have come out talking about the program, just walking around town and hanging posters for the team before the year. I love it. And that's kind of our mission as a company here at Civic Media, right? We're trying to get engaged in our communities. Local. And we do it through high school sports broadcast. Did you know that tonight we have 10 stations doing high school football around the state
on
Civic Media signals? So we've got a lot going on.
That's fantastic. And it's just a great thing for kids. Here's my experience with high school football. I fully intended to play, but I didn't want to miss a family Olympics in the North Woods my freshman year, so I just didn't play. And everyone's like, why weren't you playing? So I went out. I said, all right, sophomore year, I went out. Day two of two-a-days, I hated it so much. And I'm just like, I'm just going to go home. And I stuck it out for the year, but I was done. The two-a-days, I could not do it. I don't know how.
Thanks, Ross.
I didn't think they did that anymore. I didn't think they did 2 days. I thought they just had one long practice or something.
That's what they do, yeah, and that's what we do, too. But, yeah, that we tell them, this isn't the fun part. This is the work part. The fun part is playing on Friday. So
how are you – how you said you made a joke kind of about the record earlier. What is your record this year, and is it a burgeoning program, or is there hope there?
So this week, our JV and middle school each won their game. It's the first time we've had two program wins in a week in, years.
Nice.
Probably 7 or 8 years. Unfortunately, the high school program that I'm a coach at, we have the fifth longest losing streak in the state right now. We're working to fix it, obviously, working hard to fix it. But we have to play the number four team in the state tonight. We have the number one team next week. So we have our hands full.
Okay.
But we're working hard. We still have six games to play. So we're gonna break this thing.
Conrad's still got like 2 years of eligibility left, I think. We can suit
Conrad,
him up.
Can you play line?
Can you play line?
You know, I don't think I could. I haven't played since freshman year.
Oh, not with that attitude.
We could use you.
So, Jim, before we get into the Packers, this is fun. I like talking high school football with you because you have a great outlook on everything, and you're very knowledgeable about this. Texas has football in high school. Indiana has basketball. Does Wisconsin have a preferred high school sport, or are we kind of evened out here? What would you say to that?
I would say we are kind of a football / basketball state. And, okay. I say that because there's a lot of other sports that have really stepped up. But when you look at basketball recruiting in the state, we have so many women's basketball players playing collegiately in Division I. We have some men's, but more women's players that are going out and playing, they're getting into D1. We've got professional star players in the WNBA from Wisconsin, so Arike Ogunbowale is one of my favorite players in the world.
Nice.
She's amazing. So, that's one, but I mean, we're probably a split between football and basketball. And I think football, the identity really comes from the Badgers being so good the last 30 years, where a lot of schools are now recruiting us. Northern Illinois last week, they defeated Notre Dame in that big upset.
How about that?
Their entire offensive lineman, the whole offensive line is from Wisconsin.
Is that right?
So we're talking about a state that's, I think when you talk about sport, it's football, basketball. We also have a really, really good record with like track and field athletes. Kenny Bednarik from Rice Lake just got silver medal in the Olympics. So we got a good mix of great athletes. But I would say if we're talking about popularity, I would probably go basketball 1A, football 1B.
That's a great answer. Let's do a Brewers thing, and then we'll get into Packers. The Brewers have a nine-game lead. Conrad has noticed they don't play well against bad teams. Do they play down to their competition, and how will that affect them, you think, when the playoffs roll around?
I think the bigger thing with the Packers, or sorry, with the Brewers, is that they're so young, and I don't really attribute that to, playing down to an opponent or anything like that. I attribute it more to youth, that they can be a little inconsistent at times. Jackson Chourio is 20 years old. He just hit 20 home runs and had 20 stolen bases in a season. First player to ever do that.
That's crazy.
I think it's more youth that's the issue than it is the level of competition. But, with a 9-game lead with 16 games to play, I feel pretty good about it.
Yeah, you should. There's never been a collapse like that, has there? Even the 69 Cubs or the Mets.
There was one a few years ago. I don't think it was even nine. I don't think it was that close. The Brewers are pretty safe bet to be in the postseason, and obviously our stations here at Civic will have it, so it'll be pretty fun.
It will be fun. How do you like their chances once they hit the postseason? I mean, they got some
matchups.
Yeah.
It's matchups. It's hard. It depends on who they get. I won't know until I see who they play. It's hard to predict this far out, Not to chicken out of it. It's just hard without knowing who they play.
No, I get it. It's hard to ask you for a Brewers prediction when you're on a football field very early in football season with a beautiful background there. Jimmy Cuska is my guest right now. He's the Civic Media Sports Director, and he is also a high school football coach, an award-winning high school football coach, coordinator of the year last year. When we come back, we're going to get into some Packers talk for a few minutes, then we'll let him get back to work. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Son, please beware. There's this thing called love, and it's everywhere. And she told me it can break your heart out. Since I met this little woman, I feel it's happened to me. And I'm telling you, it's too late to turn back now. I believe I'm falling in love. It's too late to turn back now. I believe I'm falling.
listening to Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for Matt Nair on air.
Over the past 20 years, Wisconsin has seen a huge increase in reported elder abuse cases. Elder abuse is the verbal, physical, emotional, sexual, or financial abuse of a senior citizen. It can also be the intentional or unintentional neglect of an older person. Wisconsin's population of seniors 65 and older is projected to grow significantly in the coming decades. That's why we all share the responsibility to help protect our seniors by recognizing and reporting any signs of elder abuse. If you believe that elder abuse has been inflicted upon yourself or someone you know, please report it. Call the Wisconsin Elder Abuse Hotline toll-free at 1-833-586-0107 or visit reportelderabusewi.org. Respect our elders. Report abuse. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Justice.
This project is supported by the Administration for Community Living, ACL, U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, HHS, as part of a financial assistance award totaling $120,000 with 100% funding by ACL HHS. The contents are those of the authors and do not necessarily represent the official views of nor an endorsement by ACL HHS or the U.S. government.
This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Trouble, Jim. Don't worry. It's a big day here. This is the date. What is it, Conrad? The original Law and Order dropped today
in 1990.
I was going to say 90. I remember that. Loved Adam Schiff. Loved the original prosecutor played by Michael Moriarty. Such a great actor. And then he left the show after a few years, but they've had a pretty good run. My guest is Jimmy Cusca. He is the coordinator of the year. In what conference is it, Jim?
Oh, we're in the Six Rivers this year, new conference. Okay. But yeah, I was coach of the year last year in the Ridge. But yeah, it's basketball, high school football. It's all about it.
That's exciting. That's so great. So let's do a couple minutes of Packers talk here before we let you get back to work. The Jordan Love injury, I can't watch those injuries, and everybody said it looked terrible. I did see it accidentally, and I really didn't see anything, and I'm not doubting the injury. I'm just saying it wasn't as bad as people thought. Are we thinking, have you heard anything closer to 3 weeks, closer to six?
So a prognosis on an MCL sprain is 3 to 6, but Love is being listed as questionable for this week. I think Coach Matt LaFleur is kind of playing a little coy. If Jordan Love is playing on Sunday, I would be shocked. But
right.
I do think that the timeline may move up a little bit just depending on the Packers' needs. Packers didn't go out and look for another quarterback. They're not panicking over this. They traded for Malik Willis in the preseason. They expect him to be able to handle the load. And he's done a good job in practice, according to Coach LaFleur and the coordinators. Everybody seems to get it. This is football, the X-Man-Up mentality. But seeing Jordan Love as questionable for Sunday, I think is really interesting. They didn't put him on IR, so they kind of carry him on the roster. So, I don't know if he's an emergency quarterback situation or what that means, but having him listed as questionable is certainly an interesting note when the assumption was and what has been stated is 3 to 6 weeks.
Yeah, it's so technically it's day to day. If he's questionable this week, he's a young guy. Maybe he can come back sooner. But let's say Willis has to play 4 games, hypothetically. What would the Packers be thrilled if they went 2-2? Or are they expecting not to lose a beat with him as quarterback?
I think they expect him to step in. I think there's, you talk about talents of different quarterbacks. And I think with Malik Willis, you got a little bit of a different style quarterback than Jordan Love, right? But, and you tailor to that. That's what coaches do. They got to make do. We're without our top receiver tonight. So we got to figure it out here, even at the high school level. So we, as a football coaching staff, they've talked all week about how they're adapting to the talent that they have. And if Malik Willis is their guy, they're tailoring things to him. I think in the NFL, they end up going through, they start with about 300-400 plays and they work their way down to about 140 that they put on a sheet. So they definitely go through the process of preparing and making sure that whatever they're calling is going to suit the people that they have on hand.
That's great. How do you think Willis will do? Are you a fan of his? Did you watch any of his college games or see him at the combine or anything like that?
At Tennessee, he started a couple of games. I don't want to say unremarkable because he's a professional athlete and I'm not, right? But yeah. There's nothing that jumps off the page at you about him. But if he can be serviceable and he can kind of bridge however long Jordan Love is out, if he can be serviceable and not give a game away, not have 3 interceptions in a game, not lose a couple of fumbles, if he can be serviceable, complete 60% of his passes, maybe a touchdown or two, limit the turnovers, I think that's a reasonable expectation of a professional quarterback who's serving as a backup in the NFL.
Let's say he plays three games, throws for 1,000 yards, 10 touchdowns, and no picks. Do we have another Matt Flynn situation on our plate here, or does he replace Jordan Love?
I tell you that the Packers would be thrilled in that case because the trade leverage for him would never be higher, right. but they'd also be winning games in that case too. There's no way that he will take Jordan Love's plate. Jordan Love, right. If you forget, just signed a massive contract. There's no chance he's not the starter. Malik Willis could throw for 6 touchdowns a game for the next 3 weeks. There's just no way. There's just no way.
So hypothetically, the NFL, it's only 16 games. That's what I love about it. Let's say 17 games. You're right. So let's say Love misses 3 games. They go 1-2. They start the season 1-3. How does that affect? That can really affect your playoff chances. Do you think they're still competitive in the North?
Forgive me for talking over you.
No, that's okay. Second,
but we have an expanded wild card now, so 7 teams get in out of 16. I think the bar right. again is lower. I don't think a 1-3 starter, if that's what it ends up being, that does not. That's doable. You know, sure. They play the Colts this week. You know, the schedule's got some hits and misses in it. I don't see a 1-3 start keeping anybody out of the playoffs though. It's a long season. 17 games is a long time. I think if you can get 14 healthy games out of somebody, you're kind of winning the lottery there. So I mean, Love missing 3 in that case, I think you're still in pretty good shape. I mean, this is just top level view. You know, like sure. This is. You know, we're talking about this all in a vacuum.
That's
right?
What we do here. We speculate.
Yeah, it's if you fun. Go 1-3, you're going to be okay. I'm just saying, Packers fans have nothing to worry about. I think this is the best case scenario that, if Love is indeed injured, and he has to sit a game or two or three, I think it's best case scenario because then he's fresh then for the run and into the playoffs. You don't have to say, oh, well, he just went through the meat grinder of a 17-game regular season schedule and then has to play 4 games in the playoffs from the wild card round. Now, it's fewer games, so in theory, fewer chances to get injured. I think that's a good scenario, especially if the Packers can get wins while he's out.
All right, you're missing a receiver tonight, Jim. Last thing, I got just a little strategy. I was running some X's and O's here while you were talking. Keep the other team guessing. Don't be afraid to punt on third down. Have just run a Hail Mary 3 plays in a row. Just keep them guessing. Make them think you're insane, and you might catch them off guard. What do you think?
Our offensive playbook is 170 plays right now. We have a lot of ways to make people guess because we run a spread mesh. We keep them guessing. But I tell you what, when we see the schools we got coming in the next few weeks, we're playing 3 of the top 6 teams in Division 7 in Wisconsin, our division this year, in the next 3 weeks. This is a gauntlet. And the team we're playing tonight just played for a state championship last fall. They finished as runner-up. So we know we got our hands full tonight.
I wish you luck tonight, Jim. He's the coordinator of the year for basketball. And you're doing a great job covering a lot of Mike stuff while he's out, as on top of what you do every day here at Civic Media. Thanks so much for your time tonight, buddy. And go get him tonight.
I just want to say, yeah. Mike Clemens, we're all thinking of you, buddy.
Absolutely.
I am so happy that I get to work with you, and I am here to help however he needs. Mike is such a tremendous asset to what we do here at Civic Media. Mike, you're the man.
Love him.
You better.
Love you too, buddy. All right, have a great game tonight, Jim. Thanks so much. All right, that's Jimmy Cuska. Always fun to talk to you. I felt bad. I didn't even want to ask him for a TV recommendation because I know he's got stuff to do. He's got X's and O's, right?
You know, I was thinking, since he needs a receiver, what about you, Pete? You think you can get in there?
I run an 8-4-20. So I think, but again, the element of surprise.
Maybe just do a couple wide receiver screens for you, just to get you the ball.
Who's this old timer? We don't have to cover him. I'll sneak in under the radar, man. They'll regret not leaving me wide open. All right. Thanks to Jimmy Cuska. That was always fun. We've got Sounds from Sputnik coming up next. This is Pete Schwabe. Stay tuned for award-winning news here at Civic Media on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mad Radio WMDX, Madison's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Todd Allbaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll review the sports news of the week as well as Governor Tim Walz in Superior. Let you know what happened. Join us.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. The
Todd Alba Show.
Going back to this interview we just had, again, many thanks to Michael Cohen, former attorney and fixer for Donald Trump. Let's go back to the phone lines. Don in Milwaukee. Don, thanks for holding. What say you?
My God, that I've been listening to your station, Civic Media, for a long time, and this was a blockbuster. I was absolutely riveted.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to Mad Radio. WMDX 1580 AM Columbus, W224 EG Madison, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.